For me, I started in 2012, but we launched in 1988, the same year as I was born. But I'm quite a player, and I like so much the game.
There has been a new group of people playing retro games.
Yes.
The games that we made back then were very fun to play. They don't have the same graphics that you have on a PlayStation, right? But some of them have more action, faster gameplay, and
yes.
I once spoke to the creator of God of War. We were at a conference and we were talking, and he pulled me aside and he said, you know, I can make a giant game like God of War, you know, it's like writing a movie, and I can write the thing and I can make the game. He said, I once tried to do what you used to do, which is to make a small, one-screen game that's fun to play. And he said, you know, it's really hard.
And I also heard that you just had 8 bits to create
eight
that game.
Bits.
That's nowadays,
right.
The people have more than gigabytes, terabytes.
That's right. Pitfall was, the ROM was 4,096 bytes. 4K bytes, not 4 megabytes, not 4 gigabytes, 4K bytes. Are you getting all this for this interview here?
Yes. Yeah. What was the inspiration to create Pitfall?
Well, I started out with The Little Running Man. I wanted to put a human character in a game, which wasn't done at the time. At the time, there were tanks and jets and other things like that. Plus, you only had 8 bits. So I figured out how to make an 8-bit character that looked like a human. And once I had that, I put it into the game. I sat down with a blank sheet of paper, and I drew a stick figure, and I said, all right, there's my little running man. What's he doing? I drew two lines, said he's on a path. He's running on a path. Where's the path? I drew some trees, called it a jungle. All right, so now he's running in a jungle. Why is he running? Rolling logs,
some rocks.
You know, some rocks, some... treasures to collect, the reason to go somewhere,
yes.
The scorpions. And in about 10 minutes, I designed what the game was going to look like. And then it took a good 1,000 hours of programming to make it happen.
So good. Besides Pitfall, also you created some for games for Atari 2600. Do you have one that you like so much?
Well, my first game ever was Outlaw. And at Atari, the reason they made the Atari 2600 was so that people could play their arcade games at home. Atari was a big arcade gun company, right? They had all those, they had Pong, they had Tank, they had Jet Fighter, they had all these arcade games. And so when I was hired at Atari, the job was to take their arcade games and make home versions of them so that they could sell them to people in the home. And they really only designed the hardware for Tank and Pong. If they could do Tank and Pong, that was happy. They were happy because then they could sell 2 cartridges. Any other cartridges were fine. Now, of course, there were thousands by the time it was all done because we figured out how to make the Atari hardware do things that it wasn't intended to do. So at Atari, they said, well, you know, we've got these arcade games. One was called Canyon Bomber, and it was two jets going by and they dropped bombs, and wherever your bomb went, you got points. Okay. And they had another one called Depth Charge, where you were in a ship on the surface and you were dropping depth charges to try to blow up submarines. And my biggest accomplishment at Atari is to take both of those arcade games, which are like $3,000 arcade games, and fit both games into one cartridge for the Atari 2600 that you could buy for $40. Now that cartridge was only 2K bytes, 2,096 bytes, and it had 2 games in it with all the graphics, all the sound effects, and all the gameplay, all squeezed into 2K bytes of ROM.
I think that is the hard work to do, but it was done with magistry.
forgot to ask you, would you like some water or coffee?
I'm good for now.
Okay.
You lived through the crash of the video games in '83. What was your biggest learning of that moment?
What was very interesting about that crash is Activision pretty much caused it. Okay.
So nice.
What happened was we were very successful. We were the first company, the third-party publisher. That means, they call it a first-party publisher if you make a game console and you make games for your own game console. Okay? A third-party publisher makes games for someone else's console. So Activision was the first to do that. Before that, there was Atari, there was Intellivision, Mattel, and Coleco, you know, and a couple other game companies who could make a game console. It's very expensive to make a game console, much more expensive than to make a game cartridge. Right? So the only people making games back then were the companies that were big enough that they could make a game console too. All right. Now Activision comes along and proves that you don't have to be so big that you can make a game console. You can make just the game cartridges that are compatible with someone else's game console. As soon as we proved that that could be done and that you could make money doing it, 30 companies were created to try to do what Activision was doing. So we went to a show just like BGS. We went to CES and we looked in the directory, and where there were 3 companies last year, there are now 33 companies making games. And we looked at that and said, none of these companies have the talented game designers. They're just hiring someone who knows how to computer program. There's a difference between programming a computer and making a game, right? And we said, most of these companies are going to be out of business in a year. And we were right. We didn't realize what that was going to do to the entire industry. Because what happened is each one of those companies made games that nobody wanted and built millions of them and tried to sell them. So they all went into the toy stores and the software stores, all of these games that nobody wanted. The shelves were full of things that couldn't sell. That was the crash. Because those companies, the companies that made the games went out of business, the companies that were trying to sell the games, lost money. And when the companies closed down, there were warehouses full of games. Those games ended up going out on the shelf for $1, $2. Instead of $40. So you would come into the store and that's a low enough price that even if the game's bad, people will buy it.
Yes.
So people bought the bad games instead of the new games, and so now Activision and Atari and the other big companies were losing money. So everybody was losing money because these 30 new companies thought that they could do what Activision was doing. So in a way, Activision caused the crash by showing that there was money to be made and too many people came into the business.
Yes, you have to choose your game that you want to play. Mm-hmm. You cannot put a lot of things for everyone because not that everyone will buy everything.
That's right.
They have the path to choose. So nice. You founded Activision alongside Alan Miller, but left the company a few years later. Any specific reason?
But after what?
You left it. A few years later, any specific reason in that moment?
When I left Activision because the founder that I started the company with, Jim Levy, he was the CEO. So Alan Miller and Larry Kaplan and Bob Whitehead and I were the game makers, and Jim Levy was the CEO. Well, after the crash, the board of directors fired him. Okay, it's like if your sports team is not doing well, they fire the manager.
Yes.
Well, it's not his fault, but it's something that they do, right?
Someone
okay.
Had to pay.
So he got fired by the board of directors, and that was the wrong thing to do. I didn't agree with that, and I didn't like that, and so I left. And I left Activision, went off and did a lot of things independently and such. But that's the reason I left Activision is because they fired the team's manager.
During the period at Absolute Entertainment, you made games like David Crane Amazing, tennis and a boy and his blob. Is there any chance to see amazing tennis in current generation, since there is almost no tennis game nowadays?
So I don't know why there aren't any tennis games these days. The reason I made amazing tennis, I was a tournament tennis player. I played from 6 years old. I was playing tournaments at the age of 9, and I played tournament tennis. So tennis was a big thing for me. And when the Super Nintendo came out, it was the first system that could actually do a three-dimensional view from the court. And you see, most tennis games in the past were from way up here, right? And it was pretty much just a pong game.
Yes.
But as a tennis player, I went down to the court level, all right? And you could see the perspective of the court, and you were out here, and you were hitting it, and your opponent was small back there, okay? And the whole thing scrolled back and forth in three dimensions. And I made that because, as a tennis player, that's the kind of tennis game that you like to have. And you could play some really good tennis games with that. If you had two good tennis players, when they got,
yes,
you know, you have got a good control. I was very proud of that. There have been a few tennis games since then, but it's interesting that you point out, I hadn't even noticed, that there aren't any really good tennis games on the big consoles. And, I don't know, I suppose tennis is not, it was very popular in the 70s, tennis was pretty big in the 80s, but in the 90s, you know, tennis didn't get too, you know, maybe it's back, I don't know, with Federer and Nadal.
But I like that game also. I like games and golf also. Mm-hmm. But it's not good for us, but let's wait in a little bit. Many of our riders dreams of career in the game industry. Do you have any tips that you can give to them?
To people who want to get into the video game business? Well, it's much more of a business now than it was. We were individuals paving the way. We were pioneers back in the 70s and 80s. And now you can go to the university. You can get a degree in video games, in video game design. You can learn how to do pixel art. You can do pixel animation. 3D art, if you are an artist, 3D rendering is learning how to model. That's a very important aspect of video game development. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get in. I've often said, though, if you want to be the guy who makes the game, like me, all right, the trick is just start making one. You know, download one of the tools and put it on your computer and start creating. Get your best friend, who happens to be an artist, to give you some art and work together with them and make a game. And you can actually self-publish now.
Understood.
Just do it yourself.
With a lot of remakes that is creating nowadays in the publishing, do you think that Pitfall could be one of them? I would be very happy to see.
Yeah, you'd like to see that? I actually did a Kickstarter to do a Pitfall. I couldn't call it Pitfall because Activision owns that, and I left Activision.
Understood.
It was called David Crane's Jungle Adventure. And the Kickstarter never got off the ground. So there weren't enough people who wanted it to make it happen. But, you know, the reason you see remakes on these old classic games is if you can capture the gameplay. We worked really hard back then to make the games play fun. And so you'll see a remake. It's really easy to do the graphics now with all the new systems, but getting the play is what you're trying to achieve when you do a remake.
David, I appreciate your time.
I'm glad we were finally able to make it happen, because, boy, I was in traffic. We left my last appointment at 3:20, and I was late for my 5 o'clock, and we were not that far away.
São Paulo is here, it's complicated.
Well, and then it rained.
Yes.
And it's the holiday, people are leaving. There were accidents on the road, we passed several. But I'm glad we were able to get it happen.
I appreciate David Jaina.
Great.
Big fan of yours. And
thank
hope
you.
To see you again the next opportunity.
Okay.
Have a pleasant day for you.
Who's that? That's you. Oh, was that recording?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But now
we didn't miss any of that.
Yeah.
All right, who's next?
We have Play TV.